There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
What this movie is saying is that women like being hurt and like being used, and that you as a man are entitled to use women. I just can't think of a worse thing to be teaching our young men.
The fallen world sniffs out this alien smell of the resurrection on you and will seek to stamp it out. It recognizes it for the threat that it is. The principle of this world is death.
If salvation is my personal relationship with Jesus, it makes our problem somehow having an emotional or personal distance from God. So it completely takes the idea of sin out of the question.
While snow blowing our driveways, hardy Minnesotans love to listen to Issues, etc.
The millennial generation is starting to have children of their own, and that makes them, of course, a bit reflective. They think not only about the children that they're raising, but themselves as they were raised as children. I imagine many of them, like every generation does, looks back and wonders at the wisdom, wonders at the prudence of some of their parents' ideas and actions in raising them. And they strive to, what, improve upon how they were raised, don't they? Every generation thinks that they can do this. What we've ended up with is what they call the helicopter parent, the parent that hovers, that watches, almost like a black helicopter, watching every movement, every detail, every bit of food that goes in, everything that comes out, making sure that everything is just perfect, just right. Is that the solution? Have we overcomplicated parenthood, especially motherhood? Greetings, welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon. It's March the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Anna Ilona Mussman will be our guest to talk about overcomplicated motherhood. She's written an article for The Federalist titled, "We've Overcomplicated Motherhood Because We Don't Like It." A little bit later, Dr. John Nordling will be our guest. We'll respond to some arguments being made out of evangelicalism for the ordination of women to the pastoral office. Then This Week in Pop American Christianity, with Chris Roseboro of Fighting for the Faith, we'll talk about some evangelical leaders who are claiming direct revelations from God. That's nothing new. And then, since it's Friday, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We play those four soundbites for you, and then all you got to do is listen, and then your vote will decide which one will be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or vote in advance for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week right there at our Facebook fan page. We've left some space for you to do so, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Anna Ilona Mussman is a regular guest. She's joining us to talk about overcomplicated motherhood. She's a married mother of a baby boy in Pennsylvania, editor and contributor to the blog Sister, Mother, Daughter, Wife, and she's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "We've Overcomplicated Motherhood Because We Don't Like It." Anna, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks.
Millennials are starting to have kids of their own now. I mean, it's happening. They're bringing children into the world, and they're kind of making that comparison that every new set of parents does with their parents. They realize the parenting of their parents was sometimes not so great. Is the response to that, is the remedy to that so-called helicopter parenting?
Well, I think to some people it sounds like a good option because it sounds like, well, you know, we'll just be really, really careful and do everything absolutely right, and then we'll have a great result and our children will turn out perfectly. But that is based on the false premise that you can guarantee any kind of result in life, and in particular the false premise that you can guarantee that somebody else will turn out in the way you want them to turn out by controlling them.
You say this, in particular about motherhood. Motherhood in all its brutal glory leaves modern culture suffering from cognitive dissonance. What are you talking about there?
Well, I think it's very interesting that when you're a mother, there are so many things about your life that contradict a lot of modern values. I mean, even just the whole physical process, you know, you cannot be physically independent in the way that people want to be independent in most of life in modern culture. You know, here you have this child who's completely dependent on your body, and you have to share your space with them, and you have to adjust your life to their needs. And, you know, it's a very kind of primitive thing in some ways. You know, I'm actually pregnant right now, and sometimes I think about, you know, well, it's sort of amazing how this works, but it's also kind of very strange. You know, why do I have to share, you know, my very body with this baby? And that kind of carries out into the rest of motherhood. You know, as a mother, you suddenly have to be in charge of another person in a way that it's kind of awkward if you believe in postmodernism, and you have to sacrifice for another person, which really goes against these values about pursuing personal happiness and making sure that you love yourself and take care of yourself first. And so I think that motherhood does become a little uncomfortable for people who really embrace postmodern values.
And that dissonance, you kind of describe it by saying, you know, women are not supposed to sit around at play dates and admit that they dislike their children. Is that part of the dissonance you're talking about?
Well, I think there's dissonance in the fact that our society expects women to commit completely to whatever children they get, which has been true for many years, but what's dissonant about that is that we're not expected to commit unconditionally to anyone or anything else. It's interesting that, you know, our society would think somebody's very weird and old-fashioned if you said, well, you know, this is your husband. I realize that you don't like him anymore, but, you know, he hasn't done anything very terrible, so why don't you just stick it out, make it work, you know, act out love towards him. But, you know, if you said, hey, I don't really like this kid. This kid does not fit with me. We're just not compatible. I think we'd both be happier with other people, and I'm just, like, really sick of this, and I can't pursue my own life. Society would not give you a pass to go ahead and dump your child for someone else.
What about, as you say, motherhood requiring that you impose your values, your beliefs on another person?
I think that for a lot of parents that I have witnessed, I think they find it quite uncomfortable to adjust to being an authority figure over their child because they're used to believing that, you know, you let other people do what they want to do and you do your thing, and as long as nobody's hurting each other, it's all good to go. And yet that really doesn't work with children. There was an interesting article in the Washington Post. A woman was saying that she was a bleeding heart liberal, and this ruined her parenting. You know, she raised her two daughters to question everything and believe in social justice and realize that it didn't actually work to raise small children that way, because they would say to her, well, you know, people who have money should share with people who don't, right? And she'd say yes, and they'd say, well, I want that candy and I don't have money. You know, give me some money, and throw a fit when she didn't. So parents realize that if you don't make some rules for your children and say, okay, well, this is how we do it, and then enforce those rules, things just don't work. But that's very uncomfortable, because then you're risking being wrong, which is very counter to postmodernism. I think postmodernism can help people feel safe in some ways because they're not taking the risk of being wrong and being the authority figure who could turn out to be the bad guy.
Are you saying that you can't consistently raise children as a mother and actually believe the tenets of relativistic postmodernism?
I think you can't do it while being fully consistent. And, you know, humans we're able to be inconsistent if we want to enough. You know, C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters made some comment about that, about how modern people are particularly accustomed to have contradictory ideas bouncing around in their head and kind of trying to ignore that. But I think at the same time, it makes us uncomfortable when we truly believe one idea and then we are forced to act in a way that is contrary to it. And when we see sort of practical implications, we see that our belief in postmodernism, say, just actually doesn't work in a given situation. That can create doubt about its validity.
What is our kind of definition of freedom, and what does motherhood do to it?
I think that increasingly we see freedom as the ability to completely self-define. I think the more old-fashioned version was that everybody should have sort of equal opportunities to achieve in certain areas. You know, people who are free will be able to start their own business and have a good shot at it. They'll be free to attempt an education and get as far as they can in it. But I think now we take that much farther and say freedom is being able to decide that you are whatever you want yourself to be, whether you want to be a different gender or no gender at all, or whether you want to be somebody who takes care of someone else, or whether you want to become a completely new person who's going to fly off to the Bahamas and begin a new life. And of course, once you become a mother, your identity is no longer completely in your own hands. And you realize that just as these children are dependent on you, you have a certain obligation to them as well. You can't just become whoever you want to be, and you can't reinvent yourself because these children need a parent.
You talk about this kind of new form of Gnosticism that our technology and our ability to manipulate the physical world has brought about here. Explain that in a little more detail, and what does motherhood inject into that fantasy about our physical world?
Mm-hmm. I think that the Gnosticism I'm talking about here in modern society is the idea that the physical and the material don't really matter, and that we should just with our ideas and with our minds be able to create the society that we want. I think you can see a little of that in the desire to just kind of create social justice by force and not worry about the consequences. Our idea is good, so we should be able to accomplish it, but much more strongly, again, in this idea of sort of self-definition. You know, it doesn't actually mean anything that your body has the sex of being male or female. You should be able to be whatever you want to be whatever you are in your head, because that material isn't really valid. It doesn't really matter. And then again, when you become a mother, all of a sudden the material is very, very important. And the material, the physical world, shapes and controls to some degree what is going on. You know, again, you have this child growing in your body, and you realize that you can't control the material just by wanting things. You know, you can't create, you can't force conception. You can't always prevent it. You know, these things happen. And I think, too, that a lot of parents realize when they have a child that their control over the material world is a lot less than they thought. When you have more to lose, you kind of realize how easily illness or death or other kinds of physical things could take away your child and could take away this thing that you've invested in a great deal.
So the extreme of this might be a young woman who gets pregnant but says to herself in that kind of Gnostic fantasy, I'm not a mother, even though every physical reality in her life is now screaming at her that she is.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to decide to have an abortion, and that's her justification is, I don't think I'm a mother, therefore I'm not a mother.
Right, right. And of course, you know, there we have the situation where somebody has been a mother. There has been life, and that isn't something that can be changed. And I wonder if that's part of the depression and the later life problems that people who've had abortions do report, that there's something wrong in the back of their mind. They are denying a type of reality, and that lasts, you know, that remembrance in their brain lasts, even if they are telling themselves that it's not real and it doesn't matter.
So how has society sought to redefine marriage? How would you describe it?
I think the definition I hear most frequently is, you know, marriage should be sometimes people say any two adults who love each other and wish to make some kind of formal commitment to each other.
And therefore, how has society gone on to redefine motherhood?
Well, I would suggest that society wants to really focus on it as a choice. which means that it's equally valid to choose not to have a mother, which means that you're kind of making a statement to everyone if you do have a kid. You know, it used to be that people get married and then they, as a result of being married, you have children. And that was just kind of how things were. But now that having a child at all is supposed to be a choice completely separate from marriage, suddenly it becomes much more high stakes. If you're going to make a pointed decision, you better get it right. And you better make all the right choices in your child's life.
Is that part of what you talk about when you talk about overcomplicating motherhood?
It is. And I think that there's kind of two things going on when we redefine motherhood as choice. I think sometimes the redefinition is just saying, oh, well, motherhood is a choice that some people make. It's just a weird little thing that can happen in life versus seeing it as just kind of a part of natural life. And then I think also people turn motherhood into a whole series of little lifestyle choices and make being a good mom, being all about making the perfect choices, as if you were throwing some kind of fabulous party or something, mm-hmm. You have to choose the right food. You know, you don't let your child associate with families where the apples that they eat are not organic. You know, you have to choose the right schools. You have to choose the right sleeping patterns. And all these choices become so consuming that that's all that moms can think about.
That becomes a tyranny for both mother and child, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Finally, what's the real answer here? If overcomplicating motherhood as we have, turning it into kind of a daily exam that mom has to pass in order to produce the near-perfect child. I always say, our kids come broken, and it's not our task to fix them, but just to raise them. That's all there is. What's the real answer when it comes to our attempts to redefine motherhood?
Well, I like what you say about it's our job to raise them. And I think that's where an understanding of vocation is very helpful, because when we're thinking about vocation, our job is to serve and to give. It's not to be this person who triumphs and creates some kind of success that other people will honor them for. And I think if you think of parenthood as an opportunity to serve this child that you've been given, that is actually a very liberating thought, because you're going to do your part. You leave the rest to God. You do your best, of course, because you love this child, but you don't have the responsibility of getting everything right on your head.
Anna Ilona Mussman is a married mother of a baby boy in Pennsylvania, editor and contributor to the blog Sister, Mother, Daughter, Wife, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled We've Overcomplicated Motherhood Because We Don't Like It. You'll find a link to this column and to her blog at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Anna, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk with Dr. John Nordling of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, respond to some current arguments being made for women's ordination, basically telling us that we've been misreading St. Paul and 1 Timothy all along. Stay tuned.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
If you find yourself near the heart of Angelina County, Texas, then God wants you to visit the First Lutheran Church of Lufkin. We are gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear God's word of forgiveness in Christ, crucified for sinners, each Sunday morning beginning at 10:15. Further details and contact information can be found at our website, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net.